The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. On our last program, our introductory program of this new series, we had talked a little bit about what science is, what science falsely so-called is, scientism, and we had been looking at Romans 1 and the teaching in Romans 1 that there has never been a single person who's been alive on the face of the earth that has not been able to get enough information from seeing the order and pattern in nature to know that, one, there is a creator, and two, he is a powerful creator. For any of you that have been to our campus, on the front of the science building, there is a mural up over the front entrance. Occasionally, I will ask our freshman classes, sometime after the semester has begun, to tell me what that mural says, what the statement on the mural is. Many of them are a little nonplussed by that. Some of them have blundered in the building underneath that statement several times a week for several weeks and are not aware that it's there. The statement is simply a quote from Psalm 19, a portion of that 19th Psalm. Let me read for you, beginning in verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. This is the statement that's in the mural that's there. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. Now what is that speech that the day unto day is uttering? And what is the knowledge that the night unto night is showing? The psalmist here is giving basically the same message that Paul was giving in Romans 1. The psalmist goes on in verse 2, there is no speech nor language. Literally, there is no speaking nor words without their voice. Let me read the verse as is. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. There's no speaking, no words without the sound of that message. It is an incessant message. It is a universal message. In verse 4, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. So the psalmist here is simply making the same observation. If you have a person one day that were to stand before God and say, I never knew anything about you, God would simply make the observation to him, you saw the sun come up in the morning, you saw it go down at night, you saw the order and pattern in nature, and that order and pattern in nature is sufficient to make you without excuse before me as a creator. Again, not teaching here about salvation, but teaching simply that there is never a single person who's ever lived that has not been exposed to the knowledge which demonstrates that there is a creator and that he's a powerful creator, and that with that demonstration, there is not a single person who is without excuse before God. Now, this lesson is a very difficult one for many modern people to swallow, and yet the scripture is perfectly plain about it, perfectly clear about it, and it is a critical message. For a number of reasons, but for one in particular, which we're getting ready to look at. It has interested me that in the New Testament, particularly in the book of Acts, whenever there is a record of witness to people who have no contact with the Scripture, the church, the believers at Jerusalem, left Jerusalem, went out into the then known world, and for the most part, with the exception of Paul and a few others, were taking the message of salvation basically to Jews that lived in other places. But there are two instances in the book of Acts that record the basis of witness to people who are unsaved. Now, if you will read the book of Acts carefully, what you will discover is that the basis of the witness, whenever people who had some knowledge of the Scripture were being witnessed to, was always the same. It had to do simply with the resurrection of the Lord from the dead. This was the initial basis of witness to those who had some contact with the Scripture itself. However, in these two instances, it's interesting to note that that was not at all the basis of the witness. There was another basis for the witness here. Let's look at the first one in Acts 14. Now, this is the chapter where Paul and Barnabas were persecuted. Paul had healed a cripple at Lystra, and they were run off from there. And let's begin reading in verse 8. Acts 14, verse 8. There sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had the faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, obviously a pagan, obviously an unbeliever. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes, and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye do these things? We are also men of like passions with you." And here the sermon begins. "And preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God." I spent much of my life thinking the word vain or vanity meant foolish. That's not what it means. Vanity means empty, worthless, useless, devoid of real value. And the sermon here was, "Preach unto you that ye should turn from these emptinesses, these things that are useless, unto the living God, which raised Christ from the dead." Right? If you're following in the scripture, you understand that's not what the next words are. "Preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all things that are therein." The basis of the witness here to this pagan was not the resurrection of Christ from the dead. It was simply the fact of creation, for reasons we have already discussed. This is information which every person has, and which makes them without excuse before God. Conceivably, a person can reject that information, turn from it, squelch it, until he can get to the point where if you ask him whether the order and pattern, the interdependence and complexity that we observe in nature is evidence of a creator, his answer may be no. But the fact is, there was a time when he did believe that. There was a time when he knew better. There was a time when he accepted that information at face value and understood it to be evidence for a creator and a powerful creator. So here, in the one instance of witness to pagans, the basis of that witness is not the resurrection of Christ, but it is rather the creation itself. There is a lesson here for us in this day, by the way. Do we have pagans and heathen in our nation today? Well, the answer to that is obvious. Whether the United States was ever a Christian nation or not, we could fuss over, certainly in the sense that every person who was here in the country was a born-again believer. That was not the case. As far as I have been able to discern, however, this was the only nation that ever began with at least a recognition of the God of heaven. And it is my opinion that this is one of the reasons for the rapid advance of this country to a place of leadership, one which we are departing from in these days. But at least in 200 years, less than that, this nation which recognized God came to a place of world leadership. There was not a time when every person was a believer, but certainly there was at least an acceptance of the truths of Scripture. Some years ago, in doing some study for a different area I was speaking in, I had occasion to go back to my old Latin dictionary and look up the word pagan. You'll recall our beloved president's wife making a statement some years ago that it takes a village to raise a child. What intrigued me was that the Latin word for village is paganus, P-A-G-A-N-U-S, pagan. It takes a pagan to raise a child. And we certainly are seeing that come to fruition in our nation today. Certainly there was not a time when everyone was a believer, but we have pagans in our nation today. And I would suggest to you that the example we have here in Scripture is good advice, that we begin our witness to these pagans in exactly the same way that the people in the New Testament began their witness to pagans as well, through the teaching of the creation, since that is something which everyone has access to and can come to the proper conclusion about it. If you're still a little skeptical, and if you have your Bible, turn with me to Acts 17. I hope this is a familiar passage to you, because it is that place where Paul's sermon on Mars Hill is recorded. Let's begin reading in verse 21, Acts 17, verse 21. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, either to tell or to hear something new. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious, too religious, actually, that ye are too superstitious, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. It is my personal opinion that this really is referring to the unknowable God, that Ensof, that being, that deity, that no one, he is without attributes, and that can neither know nor be known by man. Might take a while to fuss over that, but I think that's what's being said here. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. So we see Paul then getting ready to discuss with those pagan philosophers the idea of the true God. I see our time is up for today. We will continue this next time.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson@bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.